Pray with me really quick. Lord, your word says that where two or three people are gathered in your name, you will be there, and there are more than two people here. So please be with me, be with us, and shine through this story. In Jesus' name, amen. My first night of regeneration, I sat in a circle of about 40 men in the balcony. One by one, they shared their struggles and expectations. And one by one, I deliberated how well I was going to generalize my struggle. So my turn came, and God gave me the boldness to say my name and to speak aloud my struggle, my true struggles, and then they said, hi. It was my first time surrendering that full confession aloud to another human being, let alone 40 or so grown men at the same time. So now I will boldly and honestly introduce myself to you, all of you. Hi, my name is Berlin. I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from being molested, pornography, and same-sex attraction. Hey, guys. My childhood was like the Cosby Show, except my parents were definitely not on a doctor-lawyer budget, and my family problems didn't end in 25-minute episodes. I was instilled with respect for God and His Word. They were involved, protective, and particular about where I went. Unfortunately, around 5 years old, in my assumed safe havens, I was molested in one and exposed to pornography in another. A few years later, I received Christ as my Savior, but curiosity for sexual perversion grew alongside my faith like a silent weed. By the grace of God, my dad was not shut off to me for not being a rough and tumble boy. I had no interest in sports, but God saw fit that my father, who loved athleticism, would love me enough to be attentive to the interests that I was wired for. However, the world outside my home was overtly hyper-masculine. If I simplified the standard, it would be, all men fear you, all women love you, don't cry until you die, get rich or die trying, and finally, live and breathe basketball and football. I did not meet the standard, and fear of emasculation was always looming at school and social gatherings. I had no deep friendships, especially with other boys. During puberty, girls all felt like my sisters, and guys were way more interesting than they should have been. They were a mystery. I felt very outside looking in with my own gender. Other than my childhood sexual abuse, the Bible was the only place where I learned about homosexuality. I felt shame even reading about it there, as if I had to sneak. God made it clear in several spots that this was a no-go, so I started praying the gay away before I even knew what that meant. I didn't quite see masturbation in my Bible's index, so I did it anyway, even though I knew it was wrong. My curiosity grew unsatisfied and undiscussed, as homosexuality had yet to reach its current momentum in today's society. During high school, this new hip thing called the internet was in my house, and I saw gay pornography for the first time. Thankfully, my parents became aware and set boundaries. My curiosity grew as gay culture began to gain ground on channels like MTV and continued on to college. God's resume for me around this time was roughly just savior from hell, judge looking over my shoulder, and the source for self-centered blessings. After high school, he put on my heart a desire to read his word cover to cover. My prayer was that I would get to know him better, but I also wanted some sort of superpower as a reward for reading the Bible all the way through. I figured few people actually read the whole Bible, so something's gonna go down when I finish. I did finish, closed the cover, kissed the book, and told God, thank you. I didn't get my superpowers, but God revealed himself as active, alive, involved, and personal. Although I deepened my desire for God, I was still a solid 10 years away from fully dimensional believers, a community of fully dimensional believers who would spur me on to fully surrender to Christ, my addiction to pornography, as well as an unsatisfiable same-sex-driven idolatry of myself, to seek those who looked just like me or who I saw as the ideal version of myself. The sameness of same-sex attraction was more same and narcissistic than I realized. By that time, my legend included sexual abuse, attempted incest, lust, masturbation, pornography addiction, voyeurism, sex chatting, pornographic exchange, and seduction, all leading to an attempt of homosexuality in a stranger's car. I had the chance to do what I had spent years training my mind to do without anyone knowing, but God, being the good father that he is, got me out of that car by removing every ounce of peace before I committed my body to a sexual sin that would plague me the rest of my life in the worst way. He let me know all the sin that I had been feeding on all these years was me chasing a lie from when I was 5 years old. A lie that my relationship with people of the same gender should have no limits, and that my genuine need for attention, affirmation, acceptance, and affection can be found in homosexuality. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So, 10 years later, God reeled me in with a Watermark News story about a father who Jesus has brought out of a homosexual pit. Then God placed me in a step group where the co-leader is recovering from same-sex attraction. Then God, after about 4 months of being in region, has me sharing my struggle with my newly formed community group, the first of three. Not because I wanted to, mind you, but because the guy revealed that he identified as gay, and no one knew what to say. So the first time I share the gospel with my recovery story, it is with someone who faces the exact same temptation. If you are here today for the first time, it is not by accident. Jesus set you up. The car is moving. It's too late to tuck and roll. Even if it's your first and last night, you've been sniped. He's gotcha. As I worked the 12 steps, he let me know that my struggle with same-sex attraction versus his holiness or his wholeness, his perfection, was just a symptom of a much larger relationship problem with him. I had fallen into the trap of just not sinning to avoid consequences, instead of trusting that I could be so satisfied with God that sin would lose its appeal. I didn't know. I didn't fully understand the abundant life that Jesus promised. I have not found fully sustained love, light, life, peace, hope, joy, and identity in any other thing or place like I have in Jesus the Christ. Thank God. And also, who is more qualified to teach me authentic manhood than Jesus? Manhood that is life-giving instead of chaotic, selfish, and dead long before it has realized it has died. Gone are the days of me slinking through a life of fear and shame like I'm the hunchback of homosexuality, the Scarlet G. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. John chapter 8, verse 36. Freedom like sharing his pursuit of me with 20,000 people in a church bulletin. Freedom like sharing the gospel and the forgiveness of Christ with the person who molested me. Freedom like when I'm fully known and fully loved, sins, struggles, and all. Free to know that if Jesus had a peer view of women, it's okay if I do too. free to be a bachelor to the rapture if God prefers it. I couldn't possibly capture the depth of how kind and meticulous God was in every step of my recovery. But I can testify that if you do the work and give God the benefit of the doubt, not even 1,000% faith, the benefit of the doubt, he will far exceed your expectations, some of which may be wrong, but you just don't know it yet. I hope that you will be free today. I hope you will trust God and come to fully understand just how much he loves you. No matter what, no matter when, whatever happened. My name is Berlin. I have a free, unearned, undeserved gift of a new life in Christ, and I am being healed daily from molestation, pornography, and same-sex attraction. Thank you.